the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
All right, coming to you live from the North Peace Studios, the Roundtable Podcast. I felt like we needed like a dun 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 dun, a little theme song.
I don't know, that doesn't sound right.
Manly enough?
No, it just doesn't sound. Yeah, there we go. We're talking about God in. Oh, man. We need some teeth.
Oh, yes. But seriously, thanks for tuning in to the Roundtable Podcast. Coming to you not live, but almost live.
Almost.
From the North Peace Studios here in the heart of Fort St. John. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, or I don't know, you've never listened to it before, what we do is either get a question in or just pick a passage or a topic about following Jesus and faith and the Bible and Christianity, and then Don and I talk about it. And so far, I think so far in the history of the show, we've never disagreed. it hasn't come to a bare-knuckle brawl.
But I think the only place like where we're going to have a problem is the end times, the whole
we're never gonna talk about it.
We're both saved, so we're gonna both be there, so how it plays out, yeah. We're not gonna talk about that.
It's like a family that doesn't talk about, you know, that weird uncle. It's like, let's just not talk about Uncle Greg.
Hey, we just gotta give a call out to our Andrew here. He just celebrated a birthday.
No.
And October 22nd, 31 years old.
Yep.
So happy birthday.
I like Starbucks and a nice glass of red wine. If you want to give gifts to me, that's great. I'm just kidding. 31 years old. My birthday consisted of taking care of sick kids. So I was like, is this what being an adult is all about? I guess.
Welcome to the big leagues.
No party hats? Anyways, we had a question come in, so I'm going to read it. I won't read the name just to keep it vague, but it was awesome. I got an email, what does that say, on Tuesday or something like that, and it was awesome. We have a topic for
this week. We have a question.
So it says, hi, I have a question for the Roundtable Podcast. How important is it for a Christian to believe in a literal six-day creation? Should a person who doesn't believe in a literal six-day creation be in a position of church leadership? Should they teach Sunday school? Thanks so much. So that's kind of like, I see it kind of split into two questions. So maybe we'll kind of answer the first part. How important is a literal six-day creation? And then we'll kind of get to the, okay, if or if not it's important, then how does that play out in church leadership, or, you know, pastors or elders, or even, you know, this person even asked about, you know, Sunday school teachers. Like, how important is this to positions of authority and leadership in the church? So basically, if you're not familiar with the Bible, this person is asking about a literal six-day creation. So you read Genesis 1. And I won't read all of it, but it starts, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then, starting in verse 3, it kind of goes into the whole creation thing. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And it says, you know, blah, 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 blah. I'm just trying to summarize. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And then it goes through that several times. And, you know, God creates this and that. And then there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And so Genesis 1 goes through all of that stuff. And then you end with, there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day, and then God, in the beginning of Genesis 2, he rests on the seventh day from all the work that he had done, and he blesses the seventh day, and he makes it holy. So that's where people, when we talk about a literal six-day creation, because Genesis 1 has that format where it says, you know, evening, morning, first day, evening, morning, second day, and you see God creating everything in 6 days. So I guess the question then I'm going to throw out is, and I have some different creation theories, and maybe we'll get that into it a minute. So, but I'll just throw it out to Don. So, you know, what do you think? Literal? Is it just a poem trying to explain creation, or what do you think? Before we get to why it's important, maybe just throw out, like, so is it a literal thing, or is it not? or maybe some theories that you've heard, Don, from different people? Or
yeah, well, I mean, we talked about it before that for the most part, the church as a whole up until the 1800s believed that it was a literal 6 days. And I personally believe it was six literal days. But once the whole theory of evolution came, then there was this kind of the second look at it. Did it actually mean 6 days? How could that be if the Earth is millions and billions of years old? So several different theories have been trying to address this problem. So some of them are that each day was a long period of time.
Sure.
So I'm not sure what that one is called. There's official names for all these. Andrew's got
that. I was going to pretend that I had it off the top of my head, but I don't. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So that's one theory that, you know, well, maybe because really, yeah, Genesis 1 is written in a slightly poetic type of form, but that doesn't mean that it's not true. So yeah. Some people have said, well, it's poetry. So maybe when it says, you know, evening and morning and the first day, maybe, you know, day is just kind of a way of describing a million years. So maybe each day is a million years or something like that. That's one theory.
And for the most part, Hebrew scholars, even if they don't believe it was six literal days, say they're isn't really any way to get around that. Once you have day and morning and night, it does talk about a specific day.
There was evening and there was morning the first million years.
Say, yes, that can't really get around that because once you add evening and morning, then it's talking about a specific day. But does it actually mean that?
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to read a verse in Exodus 20. God is giving the Israelites, the Ten Commandments, and he gives them number four is observing the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I just want to read what he says there. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household, and he goes on that nobody should work on that day. And verse 11, he says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. And that's why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart.
Mm-hmm.
So there, as God is giving the commands to Moses, he seems to confirm that, yes, it was six literal days, and that's the work week you're going to pattern yourselves after.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, though, we're wrestling with, does he actually mean, like, is this Genesis 6 days? So there's that idea that each day is maybe millions of years, or there was a gap. There was some kind of gap between verses 1 and 2 and 3. Maybe the world was there. Maybe it existed for a long period. And then all of a sudden, one day, God started creating.
Right.
What are some of the others I can?
Yeah, I mean, and then some that I think you said it really good that, I mean, this wasn't an issue for so many years, like 1800 years. This was just like, well, no, that's what the, again, you don't want to just, because I think this is what we're accused of a lot of times. Well, all you say is, well, that's what the Bible says. So, I mean, there is science that actually backs up 6 day creation. But it was the beginning of Darwin and this idea of evolution and the idea of the universe being whatever, a billion years old. That's when all of a sudden I think Christians began to go, well, we're going to sound real dumb if we say, well, no, it's only 6 days and the universe is only whatever, 8,000 years old. No one's going to listen to us. So I feel like a lot of these theories came out of a place of going, let's try and reconcile the Genesis account to what popular science is saying so that, I don't know, we still have a platform and people aren't going to go, well, I don't want to listen to you. You guys are redneck lunatics who believe in like in a young earth. So I think that's where a lot of these theories came out of going, okay, maybe the Word of God necessarily isn't our authority. Let's try and bend it to popular science. And I'm using the word popular science because there's lots of science that doesn't support evolution. Mm-hmm. A lot of science. It's just not the one that's on the news and in the classroom. So anyways, some of the different views, what I believe that, you know, Don and I would both be, is this what's called young earth creationism. So like Don said, six literal 24-hour days God created everything. And that means that the universe is not billions of years old. Lots of scholars and scientists who are young Earth creationists say maybe, you know, definitely less than 10,000 years old is kind of what they put the universe at, which you go, man, that is drastically different than what is popular in our day and age. And I wrote this down because this is key. They say the data of science is interpreted through scripture. So the people who hold this view will not compromise God's teaching about the date or method of creation with scientific theories. So they say all the data, science is good because science is actually meant to point us to God, but we're not going to compromise the word of God. We're actually going to use science and interpret it through scripture. So that's, I'm assuming that that's you because that's me. Now there is a few other ones, like Don had mentioned, the gap theory. There's this theory that maybe there's this gap between verses 1 and 2 and verse 3. Some have even said, you know, Genesis 1:1 describes this first creation that happened billions of years ago. Then they say, after this, a catastrophic event happened, possibly the fall of Satan from heaven, which left the earth in a destroyed condition. And then maybe the rest of Genesis 1 is God recreating the earth in six literal days. So that's one theory. Maybe, you know, the fall of Satan caused the first earth to be destroyed. And I'm just like, okay, that is interesting, but I don't really see that anywhere. There is the day age advocate, which Don already mentioned. You know, maybe each day is like a billion years or a million years. And so that's why the earth, you know, quote unquote, appears so old, because maybe God literally took a million years for each day. There's one called the literary framework advocate, and it says Genesis 1 and 2 are intended to be figurative in showing creation in a topical and not a sequential order. They say Genesis 1 and 2 are interpreted metaphorically, not literally. That's another one that, you know, it's a poem. It's not meant to be literal, so that's another one. And those are kind of the most popular ones. Then you kind of get into ones where I think are just completely out to lunch and trying to appease evolution and the Big Bang by saying, well, maybe God, you know, caused the Big Bang to happen and then sat back and used evolution to create everything. So I've heard that kind of a hands-off approach to creation. God just kind of, you know, put the building blocks out there and didn't just kind of let it happen. I actually, for a story, there was a teenage guy that became a believer in our youth group, and I was trying to disciple him, and then he started bringing this stuff up to me. I think that God actually used evolution. So, you know, what if God, he would say this over coffee, what if God started everything and then, yeah, like, because so much evidence, right? This is what he would say, that we evolved. Like, there's so much evidence, which there is not, but there's so much evidence that we evolved from ooze and slime and monkeys. But then I asked him, so when was man created in God's image then? Was that when we were monkeys, or was that, and he was kind of like, no, like when we finally transitioned to like people, that's when we were made in God's image. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Why then? Why not when we're ooze like and slime that is nothing? So, I mean, that one is just so far out to lunch. I don't think we can even talk about it without
like. Even evolutionists say, how can you mix evolution and the, what the Bible teaches? They even say that doesn't even work, but we'll take it if you want to.
Yeah, right. I wish I could have taken a picture of his face when I asked that. Like, so when were we created in the image of God? Sure. Was that when we were birds or monkeys or anyways? So those are kind of the main theories of creation, and you'll notice that there's really only one, I think, that stays really true to the Word of God. And we'll get into that. Maybe I'll ask Don what. Okay, so we've answered. Listeners know where we land. Mm-hmm. Young universe. I don't believe it's billions of years old, maybe 10,000 years old. And literally, God created everything in 6 days, six literal 24-hour days. So I guess then the question is, why is it so important to believe that? Is this one of those where we can say, Okay, fine. Agree to disagree. You believe in millions of years. I believe in 6 days. Is it one of those situations, or why? Like, why is it important to believe in six literal days?
Yeah, where do we want to well, do we want to answer the question about salvation with this too, or should we
say
that first? So some of the problems I have if we don't agree with the 6 days, then we have to start reinterpreting what the Bible meant. And so once we do that, then of course, and this is where many people have gone on a slippery slope, then what do we do with Adam and Eve? Was that a real couple?
Yeah.
And then what do we do with the fall? Was there a real enemy that deceived Adam and Eve and we fell into sin? Then at what point do we start saying, okay, now we can...
Now listen, it's literal.
Now it's literal, or yeah. Now we can believe what the Bible says. And so then once we start... wondering if Genesis, the first few chapters, are true, or if we have to reinterpret that kind of the whole Bible is kind of where do we start saying this is true and this is what we can believe, because then nothing is stable anymore.
Yeah.
One of the problems with, let's say, putting evolution and creation together is that there would have to be death. And there would have to be dying before the creation, before God created Adam and Eve, before the fall. So according to Scripture, death came because of Adam and Eve's disobedience, and God promised the Messiah because of that. But if that was evolution processes, then there would have to be death, there would have to be destruction before God said, "This is very good." And so there's a problem there that God would be calling very good this whole process of death and destruction. Yeah. Until...
So what? Because you're mainly saying, because if it was millions of years,
yes,
yeah. Just so in case someone missed that, like if each day is a million years, then animals that were created obviously would have died. And what we're saying is that death actually doesn't come into the picture until Genesis 3.
Until the specific fall of man.
Whereas, that's a good point.
We're trying to say that there were millions of years. Hmm. There was this whole process of death and natural selection, things dying off and proving until we finally got it right. And ish,
yeah. I don't know.
Couple, yeah, we haven't quite got there yet.
So, yeah, because you're right. In Genesis 3, I mean, the curse of sin, God says, "You by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So one of the curses of sin and rebellion is death.
Yeah.
God says you're dust and you're going to become dust again. So yeah, I think you make a really good point.
And after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God actually kicked them out of the garden, because not only was there the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but there was the tree of life,
yeah,
which Adam and Eve could eat from and live forever. And God actually kicked them out so they wouldn't eat from that tree and live in this condition forever. So his plan was for them to live forever,
yeah,
on a perfect world, but because of their sin he had to actually kick them out and they would die, which was a new thing. God had never intended for people or death to be into this world.
Yeah. So keep going down that path then. Let's say, because we want to get to what that has to do with Jesus then. So if death exists before the fall, kind of continue on that trajectory. Why is that an issue?
If death came before the fall, then really the question is, why was there a need for a Messiah, a Savior? Hmm. Because he came to address sin and death, but it was already happening for millions of years.
Hmm.
Then that doesn't make sense. So why did Jesus come? Why is death such an issue, and where did sin and death originate from? If it wasn't at the fall, then there was no need for a Savior to come and save us. Because what was there to save us from? I mean, this was the process that had been going on forever and ever.
Yeah.
But there's no reason for it. And then it just keeps going. If there was no real reason, there was no original sin or original fall, then the whole flood thing comes into question too.
Yeah.
Because the flood was sent to punish men for their sins.
Yeah.
And that would just be a cruel thing that happened if there was no original sin.
Yep.
So it just kind of keeps going. And then there's no reason for Jesus to come, because that was the one thing God promised after the fall.
Yes.
One of the first promises he made is that he was going to send a deliverer to deal with this issue of death and sin.
Yeah.
And so something happened in the beginning that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
And so this is one of the issues. If we're going to fudge around with Genesis 1, we have to try to come up with another alternative where death came from, where sin and evil came from. And now it's us again trying to interpret what yeah. God really meant here.
Yeah. And like the way you said it, it's so true. It just kind of keeps chipping away at the authority of Scripture, because then, like, I think you said it perfectly, like, where does it stop? And I'll give you an example. N.T. Wright was, I guess he's still a good writer, but very smart theologian. But then I remember, and my dad really likes him, and then he wrote this new book, and I forget what it was called, but in it, one of the chapters was like, do we really need to believe in a literal Adam and Eve? And he kind of went where he said, no, it's not a big deal. And I just went, man, I'm so disappointed. Here's a guy that is like a brilliant scholar. He's over in England, N.T. Wright. And just like, I just went, man, I was so bummed out that he just kind of went, is it really a big deal? Maybe Adam and Eve weren't literal first people. And I go, but then exactly what you're saying, then where does it stop? So then, Cain and Abel, that's just a story. He didn't really murder his brother. Then the flood, and lots of Christians that I know try, and again, you're trying to fit into a worldview, not biblical. Oh, the flood, did that really happen where God wiped out everybody? And then you just keep flipping pages and you go, where does it stop if you keep chipping away at the authority of the Bible? Really? Did Jesus really do all those things? Really? He raised a guy from the dead? Nah. And they actually had a seminar called the Jesus Seminar where all of these smart scholars, they took out everything that they believed wasn't actually true, and the Gospels were like 4 pages long, because it's like, Jesus, did he really cleanse lepers? Well, that doesn't happen. Did he really raise Lazarus from the dead? Right? I'm trying to fit it into my postmodern scientific, I have to be able to touch it and smell it and feel it, and so it doesn't work. And then you go on and on and on. Where does it stop? Did Paul really mean, that marriage is a man and a woman? And so I think you make a really good point. Like, some people have said, well, is it really that big of a deal to believe in 6 literal days? Well, yeah, because if you see the trajectory of where that leads, you just kind of undermine Scripture. Yeah.
I was going to make a comment, like Jesus, or there was the original Adam, and in Romans 5, it talks about this contrast between what the first Adam did and the second Adam, and Jesus is referred to as the second Adam. So he came to undo what the first Adam did, and if there's no literal Adam, there's no need for this Christ. This contrast between them means nothing, and it's the key to salvation, why Jesus came as the second Adam, as a human being, to do what Adam failed to do.
Yeah.
So that contrast is in Romans chapter 5, if you want to look at it.
Yeah.
It says that Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ, who is the second Adam's one act of righteousness, brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone.
Hmm.
And because of Adam's sin, we've all become sinners, but the second Adam dealt with that problem. Yeah. So it's a really neat contrast there, and the need to believe in a literal Adam.
Yeah, like I even a few weeks ago had a guy message me asking, okay, so Adam and Eve, so the entire human race comes from them. And he was kind of asking, like, who did Cain marry? Did he marry his sister? And so his question was, were there other people that maybe God made to populate the earth, because it says, right, Cain went away, settled in the land, this is in Genesis 4, settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden, and Cain knew his wife. And so he was saying,
where did she come from?
Gross, is that his sister? That's nasty. But then I tried to explain, like, back then, like, when you read genealogies, like, men and women lived for way longer. Like, Adam was like 900. How many kids can you have when you're – so a lot. And but the main issue is, I said, if God started creating other people, then, again, it's the sin issue. The reason that humanity is screwed – sorry, pardon my French – the reason that we're all in this – we're all wicked and sinful is because we all come from Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. So if God had just decided, oh, I'm going to populate the earth otherwise, then they're not affected by the fall. So that's the main issue. So let God work out the details. Sure, Cain married his sister, and maybe back then it wasn't leading to deformities because God in his grace allowed that to happen to populate the earth.
In the beginning, they were perfect.
Yes.
And so there was no maybe issues that we have today with the gene pool, and over time
– yeah.
It got worse and worse. So even Abraham married his, was it stepsister?
Yeah, something like that.
And so cool. Then when Moses received the law, then God began making the laws that you can't marry close relatives for those reasons. So it just showed that from Adam and Eve, the sin just started permeating and got worse and worse.
Yep.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, we all, and even a National Geographic show, I couldn't believe they actually
aired
this.
Oh, I remember
this.
You telling me about that. Yeah.
They actually did a DNA test, and they found that, and this was on TV, that they could trace back the whole world back to an original couple. And they were very quick to say it's not the Adam and Eve of the Bible.
Yeah, of
they
course.
Actually made that clear. But back maybe 100,000 years or whatever, they said back then there was a original couple. And the DNA showed that we are all related to this original couple.
Yeah. Well, even the flood is confirmed scientifically, but they say not the biblical flood, but they say, you know, archaeology.
Some kind of watery catastrophe. Did
happen. Like a big, let's call it a water catastrophe. But they'll say that based on archaeology and sediment and blah, 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 soil. And they'll say sometime in the past, there was a cataclysmic flood worldwide, but it wasn't the biblical one. So it's just funny to me that, you know, Christians are so often painted as, you know, backwater redneck idiots who don't believe anything. But more and more, as science digs deeper and deeper, mm-hmm. we're actually going, oh, you guys found that out? Yeah, we already knew that. It's in this book. And over and over and over and over again, it's like, so, oh, you guys finally figured that out? Well, welcome to the party. You're a little bit late. We already knew that. And so it's just fascinating. And yet it's still like, well, not the biblical one, but there was something mm-hmm. like that. And we're going, yeah, we've been trying to tell you that. So anyways, we're a little off topic. But you can see that if you begin to chip away at this literal 6 days to try and bend to popular science about evolution and billions of years old, I think you made a great point. Like, where does it stop? Because then you just begin to chip away more and more at the authority of Scripture. Did you have something that you were going to read there?
Well, I just wanted to read 2 Peter chapter 3.
Right.
People were kind of asking, where is this coming of Jesus? In verse 5, Peter says, they deliberately forget that God made the heavens by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. Mm-hmm. And by the same word, he says the future world is going to be destroyed by fire, and there's going to be a new heaven and new earth. But he says they forget that God made the heavens by the word of his command, and that there was this global flood. And even all the geological things we see around us and how the world appears to be old, if we factor in a global flood and what happened there, a lot of those questions are answered. But yeah, unfortunately, that assumes that there was a real flood and mm-hmm. that the Bible might be right. So that's dangerous to go down there. But it's interesting that Peter said they deliberately forget God made the world by the word of his command. And we just seem to struggle so much with that. But how can that be? Like, it just doesn't make sense to us. We got to help God out.
Yeah.
And we just can't go with that.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, we want to be careful. And as Andrew said, scientists who believe in a young earth have scientific answers to show that it's totally legitimate. Yeah. It's not just a wishful thinking. If you believe that, just throw, you know, science and everything out, just believe. But there is actually evidence that supports the whole thing.
Yeah.
So,
and that's a really good plug. Here's a side plug. Coming up in January at our church, we're doing a series called Skeptics Forum and asking some of these big, like, questions, because we believe that actually, like, we have the answers for them. So many people view Christianity as like, well, that's just faith. You have to kind of check your brain at the door and just have faith. And if you want to be smart and rational and logical, then you pursue science and evolution. And actually, Christianity is the most logical and rational belief system in the world. Mm-hmm. And so we're actually going to spend 7 or 8 weeks on Sunday mornings asking some of these big questions, like, is there evidence for the existence of God? Why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? How do you wrestle with the question of hell? Is faith opposed to science? And just some of these big questions. So that's a little plug for you, because at Christians, like, we're actually called to be rational and logical, to use our brains and not to just, you know, I always laughed at the stories of people who go to pastors and they're like, oh, I have questions about this. Well, you just need to believe. That's actually, like, not true. Like, yes, there is an element of faith that we have to have, but God's given us lots of answers. So back to this original question, this person asked, how important is it for a Christian to believe in literal 6-day creation? I think we would both say it's very important. Now, you kind of mentioned it a little bit. So if I don't believe in a literal 6-day creation, am I still a Christian?
Oh, boy.
I would say yes, you're just wrong. And that's just me being very honest. I think someone could have repented and trusted in Jesus and has received salvation and maybe believes in a non-literal 6-day creation. I would just think that they're just wrong. They just haven't done enough study and they haven't gone into
influence
it.
Influence from school and all that, it's hard to shake off sometimes. But yeah, you're right. I mean, in Romans it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So he does say that belief in Jesus Christ, recognizing that you're a sinner and putting your faith and trust in him, you will be saved.
Yeah.
So exactly what you believe about Genesis 1 and even other things. I mean, even as we have grown in our faith, there's some things that I didn't quite believe that as I studied the scripture, I had to change.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I don't think it's a salvation.
No, but I think there is an issue, though, about a biblical worldview. So, yeah, you're saved, but really, like, following Jesus, the Bible should be the grid by which you process life. Like, that's what we want. We want, and I think the issue is so many of us in North America, especially if you were born and raised here, you were born and raised in a materialistic, scientific worldview where it's kind of like only the physical exists that I can touch and smell. That's your worldview. And yet, so then you become a Christian. And so many of us just try and keep our existing worldview and follow Jesus. But actually Jesus wants to completely change your worldview. So I think, you're still saved if you don't believe in a literal 6-day creation. I just think maybe you don't have a biblical worldview yet because you're trying to make sense of the lies that our culture is preaching at you daily, that you have to believe in a million years and you have to believe in evolution and you, or else you're just dumb. Mm-hmm. And Jesus actually wants to change your entire worldview so that everything is processed through this grid of scripture, I guess. So then, it comes down to the fundamental, like, is scripture enough for faith and life and things to answer questions? And obviously you can hopefully tell that we believe that it is enough. It's everything that we need. We don't need to explain it through other means. So I think it is important to believe in a literal six-day creation. So then the second part of the question is, should a person who doesn't believe in a literal six-day creation be in a position of church leadership? We're both kind of looking at each other. Well, if you have a real bad church, then sure, let them in.
I guess we would say that we would definitely want to ask questions about where they fall with the biblical authority.
Yeah.
And what they think about Adam and Eve and the fall in original sin.
Yeah.
And how does that help them interpret the rest of scriptures and why Jesus came. And, sometimes people may have a different opinion about exactly how Genesis 1 happened. And they say, sure, I'm still wrestling with that, but I do believe there was an Adam and Eve. There was an original, okay, well, then we can work with that.
Yeah.
But if they're starting to, Henry T. Wright, maybe there isn't a real Adam and Eve. Well, now we got some real problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can't teach the truth of the gospel if they're, you start doubting the things right in the beginning, because nothing makes sense the rest of the way, because the whole story kind of starts in Genesis and it just keeps going. And so I would just have questions to ask about, how they see God's word, how do they see it as their authority?
Yeah.
And is that the final word? There would be some questions.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, I think you and I would, if someone said, I don't believe in Genesis 1, our red flags would go up and we would be asking questions. Okay, we need to talk about that. The question was, can they be in leadership?
Yeah, and it said, so a position of church, and should they teach Sunday school? Because again, I think you're right on that. You don't want to just, because if someone is just wrestling through that, then that's fine, because that's what we're supposed to do. But yeah, to ask very good questions of, what is your view of the authority of Scripture? I would say even, so a church leadership, so like a pastoral position. So you're going to be preaching and teaching. If you don't believe in what the Bible says literally, if you can't take that truthfully, then are you going to be teaching other people that too? And I would have issues with that. But yeah, to ask, okay, well, what's your view then? If you believe in a million year creation, then what is your view of sin and death and the fall and Jesus conquering death? If there was already death, then why did he have to conquer it? And just really press into those questions. But yeah, I wouldn't just throw someone into church leadership or even teaching Sunday school unless they could kind of articulate why they believe that. And if they're just at a place where they go, I don't know, I'm wrestling with it, and that's fine. I think that's okay to wrestle, but then to walk with them and go, okay, let's land in a really good place here. I guess the only one that if someone landed on a theory of creation different than me, the only one I could see is the idea of there being a gap because they still believe in 6 days. That's the only one I could see that, okay, maybe I don't have an issue with you then. If you say maybe God, he kind of started creation and then stopped for a million years, I'm like, okay, then at least you still believe in 6 days and you still believe in sin and death and you still believe in a literal Adam and Eve. That's the only one where I could kind of go, okay, I think you could be in a position of leadership. But as soon as you monkey around with 6 literal days, then you're really getting into the authority of Scripture.
And as you ask questions, I mean, often it comes to this whole evolution issue and how to try to reconcile it with the Bible. And then evolution is from a non-biblical, no God involved, secular, atheistic view.
Yeah.
And so, if we're starting to try to wrestle or how does this fit into the Bible, then there's some serious problems.
Yeah.
Wanted to read a couple of verses from Isaiah. Isaiah's recording this. He says, who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale, who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? And he keeps on going. And also want to read Isaiah 55 too. I mean, the whole idea of trying to reinterpret Genesis is this idea is that we're pretty much equal with God and we need to somehow help him out. That what you're saying here doesn't make sense, God, and we need to help you out. Isaiah 55 says, let us turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on us. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And so here God is saying there's such a vast divide between us and God. And when he says he created things in a day, or this is how he created, and he's the author of this book. Sometimes we think, well, Moses wrote this and he's an ancient guy and he's probably not very educated, but, but every word is inspired by God. So it's actually God moving Moses by his Holy Spirit to record the words of God. And so the words of Genesis are God's words to us. So now we're saying, well, maybe he didn't mean what he said there. Maybe, and here God says he's so high above us that we can't even imagine or fathom how God did all these things by the word of his command.
Yeah.
And so where we get into trouble is when we start questioning this God, or we kind of bring him down to our level.
Yeah.
And we're trying to, you know, interpret what he said and try to help him out, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so there is I think there is a place where we say, I accept God's authority. Yeah. I will submit to it.
Yeah.
And maybe it doesn't make sense to my puny mind, but if God said that, I'm going to put my faith and trust in it. And we come to a great place. But when we say, no, I can't accept that, what God did, I just, it doesn't make sense, then we run into trouble.
Yeah, that's a good way to end. Oh, man. That's why he's a pastor. He just nails it. Hit it out of the park. Easy now. Well, hopefully that was helpful for the person that sent that question in. Yeah, and again, if you have any question, like, this is good. This thrills us when people are asking questions. So if you do have any questions, you can email Andrew at npmbchurch.com or Don at npmbchurch.com, or I think this person sent it through our receptionist. So yeah, just send more questions in if we can help you, walk this Christian life. So hopefully that was helpful, and we will see you next week.